And I wasn't paying attention. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode...
Fucking amateur hour here.
384 of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. My name is Brad Bell, and with me is...
Your king of paintball.
Absolutely. And down there, we've got...
Matthew Bigga from...
There we go. There we go. Sorry, I didn't actually coach him on how we were supposed to do this.
There was supposed to be a title card, too, but hey.
There was supposed to be a title card. There was supposed to be a little video.
Fucking excited to see
it. We're live on Instagram. Which probably looks like crap, but it's just a test run. We're playing with it. We're playing with it. Folks, we got a cool show. One, we were on hiatus for like 2-3 weeks because of
family, Christmas, like, New Year's.
Christmas.
Dad, stick kids, all sorts of shit. But we're fucking back.
We're back.
It's 2024. So far, it's been like every other year of the 2020s, so let's hope we survive this one.
Yep.
We have guests, we have news, we have stories, but most importantly, we have sponsors that we have to talk about. So first of all, this show is brought to you by DefConPaintballProducts.com. You know that promo code, Big Daddy G. Get you 10% off everything except for whatever Big Daddy G says on that website. You want it, you know you need to use it. We also have the Rip King. I'm so excited to talk about all the good shit because the Rip King came and saw me at Christmas and brought me a Cheech. This is the coolest fucking hand. This is a handheld vaporizer that runs you about $200 Canadian at the old at the Rip King in Fredericton. You can use your dab, you can use your herbs, and you just drop it in. And I mean, portable. What the size of this thing? I wish I had a lighter.
It's adorable.
It's adorable. Look at this thing. It's bad lithium battery. It runs forever and it's very economical. And since I'm in a shitty apartment that I have a child that lives in this house with me occasionally, I can't just sit here and smoke a big fat gagger anymore. Apparently there's rules against that shit. People think you're a scumbag if you do that. Anywho, so the Rip King brought us that. And he will offer you a 10% discount on anything unless Big Black Sam says otherwise. And that's our promo code, ladies and gentlemen, Big Black Sam. You go in, you see Big Black Sam, you tell him the King sent you, he'll give you a discount. 10% off, tell you to go fuck yourself. I don't know. It all depends on how you approach him. And speaking of approach, the season, she approaches. I know it's January and I'm getting ahead of myself, but God damn it, I need me some paintball. I'm sitting here looking at my gear. I'm getting the smell on me. I got a fresh cunt coming in the mail. I'm very excited. I have a mail order cunt coming in the mail. And in case you didn't know, the show is not for children. You can let your child watch our show, but fuck your kid. I don't care because this is our show. We don't give a shit. I don't want to fuck your kids. Wow. That just got us put on the list.
Take over there, champ.
Thank you.
So anyways, the season's upon us, but we also have one more sponsor we have to talk about. We have a brand new sponsor. The podcast is now being sponsored by Ninja Paintball, the makers of Ninja Air products, right? So they got tanks, regulators. So honestly, which is great because I need new kit and I've always liked the Ninja stuff. So it's time for me to get some flashy ass tanks for the new season. Super pumped for that. So go check them out, ninjapaintball.com. And tell them we sent you. They'll probably be like, that's cool. Anyways.
That's cool. Why the hell are we sponsoring these people?
Kind of like that. But anyways, we're super excited for that. We're very excited about the partnership. what else we got to talk about? We got D-Day is coming up.
Well, with Ninja, show we talk about D-Day because it's what we live for.
Like I'll be emceeing the event again. Tom will be working the crowd again, so very excited for that. It's going to be a ton of fun, so I expect to see everybody out there because it's just a blast, right? So come out, shoot some people. It's going to be a good time. And when we get closer, we'll dig into the details of that one. And then, lastly, I forget the last thing. Oh, we'll get into that later. But right now, let's talk about Matt. Let's talk about this fine gentleman down here who's been quietly and patiently waiting for us to actually talk about him because we invited him, onto the show. So, Matt, why don't you tell everybody out there a little bit about yourself? Maybe talk about, you know, what that background is behind you.
Sure. So, it all started with my call sign, really. So my call sign's been Heavy Rifleman from the start. So HR is the name. And, you know, that's a callback to when I first really started playing paintball back in the day with Spec Ops Paintball. If you're familiar.
Oh, I am familiar.
Oh, yeah. Everybody who was around for those days remembers those days.
The glory days. I miss those days.
Me too. Well, that's kind of the essence that I'm trying to capture with this a little bit. So more a little bit about that later. I'll go into a little bit more detail. But really, you know, I joined the MAGFed community and saw the similarities, right? Like lots of talks of brotherhood and, you know, team building and strategy and all that good stuff that comes along with it. And I just saw that, you know, there's no real, like, solid retailer around MAGFed either. So there's lots of other companies, a lot that make their own stuff. And, you know, there's a couple smaller ones that might not have everything you need. But I think that that's why some of these larger paintball brands do really well, is kind of being that one-stop shop. So, you know, there's some out there that do that really well, but, you know, I want to try to build that on that, but also has some unique qualities too. So, you know, I think I started really with, well, most people refer to it as 3D printing. However, I'm starting to try to stray away from that title, mostly because of the style of printing that I do. Isn't really like a true print like you'd see at your house with like resin printing or the extruded plastic of FDM prints, and really call it more additive manufacturing. Mostly because it's a process that is focused on end use product. So where I got started really was my friend works for one of the big electric car companies, and they're actually using this process to make parts for the cars. So that, I mean, you don't see someone printing car parts out of FDM plastic. Like, it just doesn't work.
It's more about, yeah, like you said, it's not about the end product, not the process.
Yeah. Unless you want to see a lot of the cars spread across the highway.
Exactly. Right. And it's funny, cause I actually had ChatGPT, my best friend, describe the process a little bit and kind of break it down to layman's terms. And what they said is it's like building with Legos versus building with compressed snow. So if you think about like a Lego piece might snap if you built a Lego wall, where a compressed wall made like an igloo is going to hold up, you know. It's a lot different.
It's a good
texture.
Way to put it. It's a good way to put it.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
Right.
That's,
yeah.
That's a good answer. That really did.
Man,
make
you
want to
have some fun with ChatGPT? Sorry, just speaking of ChatGPT, it's the funniest thing to do. On a whim, I was doing some work marketing stuff. Anyways, we were playing around with the idea of doing using ChatGPT to help write like little marketing blurbs, little paragraphs, maybe 2-3 sentences long. So I gave it one. And I was like, write me an ad for the Ford F-150. But I want it done in stereotypical Brooklyn Italian.
Oof.
And it did. There was a lot of like, "ay." Like, it wrote it out. It was like,
this wrote it perfect. Out just so. That's,
that was amazing.
That's,
sorry. Anyways, ChatGPT.
Terrifying world we live in.
So much fun to play with.
Yeah, it is. Actually, that kind of leads into one of my first things I wanted to talk about. So I actually trained a ChatGPT or a GPT on my brand a little bit, and a little bit of the message that I'm trying to drive with my strategic combat roles that I came up with. And those are akin to the old Spec Ops paintball positions. So dagger, broadsword, all that good stuff. So I'll actually take you there, and I'll share my screen really quickly if you guys don't mind. I can
not at all, because this is all history. I've heard of Spec Ops Paintball. That's I wasn't around at that time, but everything I've heard about it sounds dope. It sounds so ridiculous.
Spec Ops Paintball was 10 years too early.
I agree, and I feel like that if that brand was still around, it would land right here in MagFed. So this is my homepage to my website. Lots to see on here. So we'll kind of dabble around a little bit with this stuff, but we'll take you to these positions too and what they mean a little bit. So obviously if you're into MagFed, you probably might not click this initially, but this is where your strategic combat roles, the overview is going to be, and it'll actually break it down to all the different positions. So I went through and kind of shed new light and updated them to the MagFed paintball game. And this is stuff that I've seen in the field on Facebook and so on, and just also played with myself. So got a nice AI-generated paintball field there. Also a gigantic gun, unless that's perspective. Interesting. I didn't even catch that before.
Him. He just keeps setting us up. I think we're going to keep him around. This one here I like. More dick jokes. This sounds just so awesome. This is so cool.
Thanks. I got some of the core roles like they used to have. So like the daggers, that first frontline person is going to be probably eliminated pretty quickly, but they're going to be the one that kind of like breaks things up in short jabs like you would use a dagger.
They were the ones that when Spec Ops was making modified, like they were selling custom A5s. That the tank was actually flipped, so the marker was like was square shaped, so that it was super tight to their chest.
And yes, they moved
incredibly fast. That was their whole point. They even had their own Spec Ops had different vests for different roles. So like the dagger's vest had very little paint on it, because they weren't expected to last very long. I miss Spec Ops Paintball so much.
Well, hopefully I can make you not miss it as much. just kind of breaking up the roles a little bit. You got like the core team, right? Of like the middle rifleman, the medium rifleman, the dagger light rifleman that's going to do those short, quick movements. The medium person's going to be like that overall kind of versatile position to kind of fill in the gaps and play that middle field. And the heavy rifleman, obviously what I play, the broadsword, where they're going to lay that covering fire. So I went through and kind of mapped these positions out, and you can actually click these and dive a little deeper. So kind of a full narrative. It'll talk a little bit about what their role is, the play style, strengths and weaknesses of the position.
This is fucking D&D, but paintball.
Oh yeah, I got right into it. So where the AI comes into play a little bit here is that I'm going to actually drop it into the chat of of the live here. I'm going to post up a link, and that link will, if you're a ChatGPT subscriber, so you're paying for the 4.0, you can use that link to take you to a GPT I've trained on all of these positions, and it'll help you figure out what position you play. It'll talk to you a little bit more about my brand. And it will answer questions on what you might need to in order to like build your kit out according to the position and stuff. So that's just a fun little tool. It's free if you're a subscriber. Unfortunately, I can't make it accessible because that's just how ChatGPT is, although I'd love to make it accessible to everybody. The core roles are still similar, right? Like maybe not the old Spec Ops sniper used to be more ghillie covered, and
even had made their own. It was what did they call it? It was
active they something.
That's what it was. It was the active ghillie or something like that. Because it was instead of being like the big bushy one, it was made of netting. like the kind of netting you'd wrap over a vehicle to hide it in the woods.
Actually, very easy to replicate. If anybody wants to make one, just grab some like black jersey mesh clothes, big pack of zip ties off of Amazon, and maybe go on Temu and look up camo netting, and that's all it is.
That's all. Yeah, that's honestly all it was. And it was just meant to break up your silhouette just enough. But the idea of the paintball sniper in Spec Ops' world, because when Spec Ops was around, first strike rounds weren't available, or they were just very new and very expensive. And so they were operated on round ball. So the idea was that you had to shoot and move. There was none of this like hiding, sitting, waiting, and long shotting. It was shoot, move, shoot, move, shoot, move. So you couldn't be this big puffy ghillie, right? You had to be
able to
move. So
yeah, because you're not engaging distance. Their target's at like 1,200 feet away, plus, you know, like,
yeah, no, it was
different than like a real traditional sniper. Yeah. So, you know, keeping that in mind too, you know, I seen that didn't really feel like a core role to me anymore in MagFed paintball anyways, where like a marksman position would be. So yeah, maybe they're taking that like tuned in shot, and they're not sitting there with a bolt action sniper, like picking people off. Like, you know, they're going to be maybe running an EMF that's got a little bit longer barrel, maybe still runs the Karmatech scope, something like that, but engages it a little bit closer range. And of course, you know, commander, that's a necessity. But then I broke it up into some specialty roles too, which these are pretty fun. So you got the shield operator, you know, because there's shields in MagFed paintball, and it's a little bit different than what we used to have back in the day for paintball. So that's kind of a new position. I changed up the hammer or the heavy gunner, which used to be your A5 double trouble with the Gatling crank.
The A5 crank, Firestorm?
Yeah. The old Firestorm cranks. I can't remember the name of it. But like that was like volume by fire, right? So like the way I thought of it was is that they had just like punched holes in things with brute force. And that's why they're called the hammer, right? Well, my take on that for the MagFed version is that the people that run drum mags, like those 42 round first strikes, like they're going to punch a hole in stuff with that. Yeah. Maybe even more of a ball hammer than a flat one. Now. But yeah. So, and then I kind of made it more, I've actually seen this in person too. It's pretty cool. The sniper and the ghost spotter, there's actually a couple players that I know that use rangefinders with their sniper team, so they'll have
like, kind of,
like that like middle class like medium rifleman style kit, but they'll have a spotter for them, and then the guy with the, you know, the SAR or the bolt action 4.68 whatever will still run that sniper role, more traditional to the original Spec Ops sniper. And then I kind of broke it up into a little bit more as far as like leadership goes and like objectives too, even. So like your engineer strategist, like they're going to support the commander, kind of be like that second in command, because this is really like a thought of like a 10-man team where you got a couple more guys to manage on the field a little bit and have a little bit more
field cover. It works too. Like scenario paintball has evolved greatly since the Spec Ops days. Right, we've got way more technology. Yo,
what the fuck, Pat? Why would you tell me to go look at this goddamn longbow thing and think that I wasn't going to immediately fall in love because I'm a slut for all things that are look? I don't know.
The longbow is cool. Do you want to bring it up? I can stop sharing really quick.
Oh my god! Like is just. I'm sorry. I had to go.
I love that stuff. I wish things were still around.
Tom, do you know how to?
No. I don't think you're here for that. No, he doesn't show me things. He's smart.
I think there's a button on the StreamYard down the bottom that says present. You just click that and you can share.
We got to keep this again. I like him. He seems to know things. Anyways, it was a tangent. I saw it and I was fascinated by it because that thing looks absolutely... The thing looks
mental. It was a kit for the...
For an auto mag.
Yeah, for the auto mag, a autococker, and then eventually the Ion, I think. I don't know what order it came out.
The sexy Ion.
Oh yeah, they did everything to the Ion, right? Like most customizable thing to the 98 custom.
It was the Honda Civic of the paintball world. There was so many bolt-on features for the Ion. It was ridiculous. Also, when I typed in the longbow paintball, the first thing I got was the one for the Ion.
Yeah,
I think that was the most popular one.
I'm you know what? The more I think about it, the more I kind of want to get an Ion and just send it to somebody and be like, make this look fucking cool, and then have it sent. I think we might know a guy that does that stuff.
That's the thing. Ion, you don't make an Ion look cool. An Ion is meant to be used like, you ever see like the hot rod culture of like closer, like in Mexico or closer to the Mexican border, where it's a lot more like, it's almost gaudy how much stuff they add to the car and like how bright and colorful it is.
Oh yeah.
That's what people did to the Ion.
Oh, it was they painted it up like a tart.
Yeah, it was just done up to the point where you're like, this is a monstrosity, and I love every bit of it.
Yeah, the people got really wild with it. I seen one that was done like one of the old World War II guns. I think it was a fish.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That's pretty cool. You're not in the custom paintball markers Facebook page. You can see a lot of cool creations there.
Those guys, yeah, some of those guys make some wild shit. Well, didn't Tonka got a Tommy gun this year, didn't he?
He did. It was that made thing, out of...
it wasn't an Ion or anything, but it was...
It was built off of a Milsig.
Oh, okay. It
was a significant improvement because it was built off of a Milsig, and once they, you know, fixed it, it really works really well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I forgot the Q loader was an option for the longbow.
Yeah, I wish the Q loaders would come back a little bit. I feel like that would. Like, a lot of people argue those aren't mag fed, but I feel like with the like Bison, PPB Bison, SMG, that style of mag.
Sorry, that was really loud.
I mean, they use the. That's a mag. I mean, just a different kind of mag.
No, for real though, that was. There is a cylindrical magazine used in real steel, and I mean, it's the Q loader.
Is that a fucking vacuum that's attached to a pod?
Basically,
kind of.
Okay, that's it.
Dude. Hey,
that's it. No more drugs for these guys because what the fuck?
The Q loader was that it spiraled. Is what it was. It was a corkscrew. And it's
yeah, I can see
it
the way
force the paintballs. So if a paintball broke and it just kept spiraling,
oh, it'd be like a kid just shooting up your back, like
it would. As Patrick put it, the Paint Blender 2000.
God, what the actual fuck? This thing looks like an abomination, and I kind of want one.
They were super cool, but the problem they were so finicky and like. If that hose got hit, it broke a ball in the hose. Like you're off the field. Go take.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential upgrades to it. Let's just say that.
Oh wow.
Yes, but it was that the Q loader came out. Remember, Tom, we were talking about how we need to make paintball weird again. Back in the day when paintball was fucking weird.
This is pretty fucking weird. Okay.
The Q loader was at the height of the weirdness.
Like, that is fucking strange. I bet Kenny's got two or three of those in the fucking museum that work.
It was, I don't know where the money was coming from, but paintball companies were just being like, I don't give a shit, man. Just do it. People were like, I got this idea. I don't care. Do it. Like
the creativity back then was definitely.
Yeah. Like, and some of the stuff that stuck around, like the Pinocchio hopper, like somebody literally looked at a hopper and was like, okay, but like, what if we glued a hopper glued a pod to the front of that hopper?
You know, exactly what it looks like.
You're not doing it right though. The problem is it should be all right. I think that's the thought process going here. Is some potheads got a little innovative because it was a pothead who wanted to play something like MagFed. That's the only way I can fucking figure that this fucking vacuum cleaner got attached to a gun. Because
yes. Yep.
I am really oh, God, someone attached one to a fucking Phenom. What the actual fuck? I am not sure whether I'm aroused. I don't know if I'm turned on or I'm going to be sick. It's one of the two.
You can put them on anything. So
yeah, like, you just feed the hose into the feed neck.
Yeah, I think it used kind of like a pipe clamp to clamp onto whatever it needed to, and then
it was meant to make things super low profile.
Yeah,
this thing's fucking hilarious. It was like, I'm so sorry I've driven you on this tangent with me, guys, but this is fucked.
It was the
it's
same.
It's like
as,
strolling down memory lane for me. My brother
what was
had
the
one.
Name. What was the
oh
name?
Oh my god!
There was a hopper. There was a kit where you put the hopper on the side of the gun.
I don't know, but I saw it.
There was the rip clip, but it was like the actual hopper was down next to the ASA, the warp feet.
Thank
you, Pat.
That was a weird. Yeah, it was height of weirdness. Anyways, yeah, we'll get back. Let's get back to Matt.
Please, please do. Sorry,
it's all right.
Sorry.
Hey, that's the basis of everything. Is like I try to be a little creative with what I do. So like those 3D print
PayPal weird again.
My ideas that I've come up with and trying to figure out how to do things, whether it be fix stuff or make new things. But just wrapping up these, like I made a couple other positions that are more strategy based, whether it be like the demolisher that's going to be focused on your launchers, you know, those types of things. And there's tanks at the actual MagFit game, which is a rarity, but you know, it never might happen one day. And then also they're going to be in charge of like blowing up objectives or blowing up, right? So, you know, one of the things that I actually sell for fields to use too is the Ares Alpha system. So if you're unfamiliar with this, it's a really cool app, and the app is free for players to use. So I encourage everybody to use it. But it is a like real-time location tracking app. So you can actually track your position on the field with your teammates, and you can mark enemy locations and things too, even on there. So it's good to have, like, I put the signal/comms tech on that position because they can run maybe with an iPad on their mounted on their chest rig or something like that, and actually be in control of the team communication a little bit in that sense. But if fields want to get involved with this, they can actually purchase props where they can do things like do bombs with like key codes that you have to enter. They can make it so that you have to extract the package and it's GPS located. There's key tags so that people can scan in and out for kills counts. There's targets that you can set up for like sniper shots or even on vehicles to count hits for the vehicle. And it's so much more, really. It's a very robust, well thought out system that isn't just made willy nilly, like off of random electronics. Like it's a very nice system that's built in the airsoft community and used a lot, but it's built with paintball in mind. So if you can, even if you look here on the keypad, it's all sealed up. It's a sealed keypad. So you're not going to have to worry about paint getting in there or anything like that. So you have some longevity to it.
That is sick.
I've been trying to find fields that are interested in getting this system because I truly believe in it.
What's the price on it, if you don't mind me asking? I can't see it. I'm sorry.
So it's $4.75 for the box, but this box does so much. Like you're gonna get a ton out of it. Plus, it's in a box that's protective, so like you're not gonna
your gear's not gonna get your equipment's not gonna get shot up by somebody who's a little trigger happy. Like
yeah, I mean this box alone supports 10 different objectives.
That's really cool.
So let's
break down this box because let's dig into this a little bit because this is kind of cool. I'm
seeing more and more of these. People are starting to bring a lot of cool boxes,
ones being built. There's a lot of they're based on Adreno kits or maybe an iPhone or an Android phone or something like that. But this looks purpose built. So this is built by Ares Alpha. So built into the box, we've got 4G connection, requires a SIM card. So it's got the capability of if you're paying for a SIM card, pop SIM card in, boom, that box now connects to the cell network. Wi-Fi integration, so if you got Wi-Fi in the area,
and it'll still track everything if you lose connection too. So it'll just need to get
board.
Connected in order to update the game score, but it keeps track of all of it for you. So if you look at this, I mean, it's it's got a domination setting. So like if players have their GPS tracking on their phone, and they need to stand near an objective for 10 minutes to capture it, then they can do that with this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm sold. Sensor,
that's cool.
RFID reader and tags. Excuse me. GPS integration, rechargeable battery. The regular battery is 24 hours, which is pretty impressive. And then it's modular, so you can do add-ons, such as add-on target and that kind of thing. So, yeah, this is really cool. It is on the pricier side. I mean, it's 645 Canadian, 475 US. But this is one of those pieces of kit that, like, an event organizer would buy. Not a player, necessarily, or maybe even a field, but, like, an event organizer, like, you buy this, and it's an investment, right?
That's, the fact that it connects to the Bluetooth for domination is fucking sick. Right. That's next level, like, that's a next level of play in terms of that.
The targets alone, as soon as you said the targets are wired up, the thing I immediately thought of was the number of times we've played an event where there's an active vehicle and there's always that talk of like, we got to hit it with a foam dart. Okay, well, we hit it, but a ref didn't see, so it doesn't count, blah, blah, blah. With this, you could wire it up so that if enough hits get onto that target, it signals in some way to say like, hey, the vehicle's no longer mobile or something. So
yeah, it's tunable too, actually. So if you want to tune it so that it can only take like a Nerf round instead of paintballs, like you can tune it for that. And the four-sided one here is standalone. You don't need one of these boxes to run it, actually.
So you could literally bolt it to the roof of a car.
It's magnetic. So you don't even need to bolt it. I mean, they literally thought of everything with this.
That's guys, they're thinking like paintballers. Like, that's really cool.
So yeah, it sticks there. So then you hit it, and you could literally wire it up to maybe a little light on the dash or something in the car, and it goes like it's like boom, that light turns red, and it doesn't work. I would actually take it one step further. I'd build a kill switch trigger into it. So once X number of like hits are triggered, then I would actually kill the power to the car.
I would attach that shit to Ryan's SUV from Honey Badger last year, and would just like to catch him on the highway and just pop 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 and watch that kill switch on like on the 401. Just kill switch him. Just roll up next to him on the way home.
Just boom. Let him go. So there's some really cool stuff there. That's really cool.
Yeah, but I think what really the biggest benefit to field is to really do what you're talking about a second ago, where you take like the guesswork out of it and like, okay, there's always going to be some human error to reffing, right? Like if they happen to be watching a player to make sure they're safe and the tank gets shot at, what do you think they're going to do? Their natural inclination is going to be to watch the player. Make sure that they're safe, and as they should as well. So now the game can just be more managed like by the game itself instead of by the refs, that sometimes you go to games and the refs don't even know the rules too. So it makes it better experience for the players too. But I think that one of the nicest things about it is that you can either pull some ref labor if you have it to pull, or if you're shorthanded, you can make better use of people. Right. Because this system will manage the game, and you don't have to pay a ref to stand there with a flag and manage a flag. You can have them manage the players and let the objectives do the work for themselves.
Right. And not to... I'm kind of throwing shade to some of the other options that exist for this kind of like improve, like adding... depth to the game is that this doesn't require me to take my phone on the field or my own personal device, which is what a lot of the people who are trying to create this kind of stuff are kind of tethered to, because it's that's the system they're building off of is mobile devices. The fact that this thing is completely standalone is fantastic. So that's super cool that you have that on your website. Let's dig into a little bit more. What else you got going on there?
Sure. So we'll get into where I got started, right? So I started printing parts, and my very first part was this the CF20 Stalker pack here. So what this does is, I was thinking when I was using, I use a die dam when I play MagFed, And I was always upset because I wanted the continuous beam magazine, but my follower always tripped my brake beam eyes because the EMF doesn't have brake beam eyes. So they didn't make it this way. And it makes sense because the original follower blocks the bolt from going forward. It makes it so you have like a stop shot, and it allows it to you to know when you're out of ammo. Where this follower is made shorter, but still works with the CF20, and it's a pretty simple installation. I do have a video for it to install it, but you'll clip the cords, tie the followers on, and it'll make it so that when you run out of ammo, it doesn't break your beam, your I-beam, and it'll just stop shooting. And you can drop a full 21 round mag of first strike rounds. And that's right, 21, because if you stack one on the top of the mag, now you have 21 rounds in it because these followers are shorter. That's coincidentally also divisible by three. So you have 7 full 3-round bursts too. No 2-round at the end. So you can keep your count good in your head. Yeah, so I mean, and the dam's hard on O-rings, so we don't want any blank fires, and it's gas inefficient, so we really don't want blank fires on the dam. So that was my first part that I like conceptualized and put together. I branched out so much more from there. Even with the dam alone, I've made a an AR-15 barrel nut adapter, so you can upgrade and modernize the dam's handguard, because right now you have a pick rail handguard and that's all you get. No modern M-lock attachments or key mod attachments or anything like that. So, and this took a little bit of engineering, because first I started with the adapter, and then I realized that the pick rail wasn't at the right center bore height height to bore ratio. So your pick rail was always off on the part. So I had to kind of work on that. And then I had to end up doing the whole top rail because of that. So when I did the whole top rail, I took out the negative space that they have underneath the rail, because paint gets in there and it's a pain to clean. Nobody wants to do that. So I try to be pretty thoughtful. You can see it mounted on the dam here. So it gets rid of the negative space that's here. Nice clean look to it.
Yeah, it cleans it right up.
I love the die dam. The die dam owners are this courteous to each other to think this through. Clearly, it was a labor of love, because that thing is they are fussy, but they are beautiful. I love them so much. Every time I see one, I'm like, I want one. Then everyone's like, you know, even the guys that own them are like, fuck that.
They're finicky.
They know me.
Labor of love. They're fun guns to shoot. This isn't something I make. This is from Paintball Gateway, but I do sell these on the site. So if you want to burt a little bit with your EMF, you can upgrade it and get the 15 BPS from me, and also the other speeds too. But just my filter's not picking up. I'll have to fix that. So I make some handguard attachments for the main body. So different caps to close off your handguard, and something that's strong that's going to hold up, right? It's not going to snap if you hit it on something or mark up easily. It is plastic still, but this stuff's durable.
What are those ones made of?
So this is all MJF printing. So in describing that process is kind of a little bit about how it's made. Is it's using some adhesives and heat to melt layers of powder in specific areas.
It's like SLS.
Very similar to SLS, I think, but SLS only uses heat.
Yeah, it's just high powered laser.
So this actually has a little bit better tolerance to it.
So it's almost instead of being like a dry powder, it's almost like a there's an adhesive mixed into the powder, or is the adhesive heated?
I think it's more, if I remember correctly, and I read this a while ago, I can't print these in house. I mean, these machines are $30,000 a piece. There's no way. But 30,000 plus. But if I remember correctly, it's like a resin kind of, where it's using light to cure at the same time as melt. If I remember
You could do a UV laser, which would combination melt plastic, but also cure. If you use a powdered resin, It would make sense. You know what I mean? But I understand what you're saying, though. There's an adhesive mixed into the plastic so that it kind of helps everything solidify a bit more.
Yeah, and it's not so harsh, so they can be more accurate.
Yeah, so that's really cool. Okay, so these are not your typical extruded thin layers of plastic that tend to shatter and splinter.
No, it's kind of interesting. The parts themselves are so strong that things that are made out of FDM that I could break with my finger don't. Give you an example. This is an early rendition of the DM pick rail at the top, right? Oh, thank you. Yeah, there you go. So, like, this stuff is strong. Like, it will bend without breaking quite a bit because it's nylon.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're bending your paintball parts that much,
and it's still it's not crooked. Like, it returned to its original shape.
Great.
So, and like when I'm at the field, because I'll set up tents for events too. I've been down as far as Texas from Detroit, where I'm from, and I'll show it on the screen here. I was taking one of these EMF mag releases, and I would, with two thumbs, press on this area here, and I did that for 2 days straight and couldn't break it with two thumbs. Like, wow. It's not going anywhere. I was doing a test print with it was the most basic filament, I think it's PLA from an extruded one. I could snap that with very little effort with my thumb. Now, you could use carbon fiber, PETG, carbon fiber, different materials to make it a little bit stronger. But in the end, it's still building with Legos versus building with compressed stone.
Yeah, like I said, at the end of the day, if those layers didn't adhere properly, you have a stress point introduced into, or a weak point, either one, introduced into somewhere in the middle of that product, where with this stuff here, it's just... if it's a different process, which just makes it better. There's no chance of air gaps. I mean, there is technically a chance, but there's so little chance, and you're not layering hot plastic on cold plastic.
I choose to vapor smooth my products, which gives them a little bit more like sheen to them too, but they're still textured, and that helps fuse the outer layer and actually make for a stronger part too, but also one that can rinse off a lot easier from paint.
Yes, that is one big issue I have with 3D printed parts, is that generally they're rough. They have texture, right? So paint, dirt, everything gets stuck to them, and you got to scrub it with a brush and all that jazz. But I seen you doing the vapor stuff, which was kind of cool, because it's literally melting the thin out layer of the product but it solidifies. It's really cool. It looks like textured injection molded parts is what it looks like when it's done.
So it feels like too, really.
That's cool.
I mean, it is a bit pricier to do, but in the end, you can slap this mag release with all your might, and I doubt you'll break it off. You probably break your EMF before you do that.
And I mean, yeah, it's pricier, but you know what's even more pricier than that? Getting the molds made to do injection molding.
Well, that's just it. And that's the thing too, is like, it's got a home in the paintball industry for sure, because the market just isn't that big in order to support me. Like, I would have to order 1,000 of these mag releases. I wouldn't come in. We're close to selling all of those.
Yeah. We, years and years ago, we had, the folks from MaxTac on the show, and, somebody in the comments was like, how can we, you know, when can we get a bullpup marker? I want a bullpup marker, blah, blah. Everybody wants to see a bullpup marker. Nobody wants to buy a bullpup marker. and he was on the show. He's like, you want a bullpup marker? No problem. I can get that made. $60,000. Because that's what it's going to cost to get the tools made to injection mold the parts and the CNC, the parts that are metal. It's going to cost you $60,000 if you want one. He's like, you want 10,000 of them? Becomes a little better price, you know, like he's like, you know,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And paintballs are so fickle; the trends come and go, and they move so fast. Especially mag fed players. Speedball is a little, I think, is stabilized a bit. They've refined it to the point where until the next big breakthrough comes through, I think things are pretty steady. But Megvid,
I mean, what more are you really going to do, though? I mean, you look at like Planet Eclipse, and they're like doing little funny little things to the markers to make them just a little bit better. And you know what? Who knows how much of they're actually sandbagging that stuff? Like, they're probably
right. It's like we sandblasted this part harder, so it's slightly lighter. You know, like,
yeah, I mean, they might be refining design, but like, they might have had this idea a while ago, and they're like, well, we'll just put out this core and then, you know, we'll upgrade it a little bit later.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
I mean, look at like, not, I mean, I love Planet Eclipse, don't get me wrong, but like, look at what happened with the S63 tactical barrel right now. Like, they put out a short barrel that's geared towards MagFed for their marker and didn't even come out with the longer version to work with their stock marker.
Yeah.
Until later when they released the extension that they just did.
Yeah. Yeah. I think,
I mean, it just seems, it seems a little lazy for something that seems so obvious to me. Like,
yeah, I think the problem is
mags take first strike rounds. Why wouldn't you put it out with the ability to do that?
Right.
And then why wouldn't you make it so it sticks out of the shroud that you built for it?
that's the issue. MagFed players are as passionate as they are. They are 1% of the paintball community. Like, there's there, and it's, how do I put it? Like, MagFed players, they're not lucrative to big companies, right? Like, you buy your gun, you buy your mags, okay, cool. And then it's all cosmetics after that. But Speedball, you know, there's money to be made in Speedball.
Labco.
There's well, nowhere
left. Fuck you, Labco. Right?
Yeah, and well, that's the thing. Labco.
Labco, I make some good stuff. I can't shit on them. I like some of the stuff.
I actually just got set up with them as a vendor. So, that's all right. No,
sorry,
I mean,
Labco.
They have their own things. Like, it's fine. It's not a big
deal. That's part it's of the game, right? On Instagram, SAS Rick Roll is the first time I've ever been called a 1%er. I'll take it. I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean that MagFed is a niche in a niche sport of paintball.
Oh yeah, like, for sure.
Like, 100%. You've the biggest MagFed only game is a fraction of the biggest open class games, or even, you know, it's a fraction of the NX.
Yeah, the biggest MagFed US game is as big as what is just actually slightly smaller, which I'm anticipating to be just about the same size as Living Legends last year.
Right. So it's there, but at the same time, it's not.
It's actually, I'm sorry. It's not Living Legends I was thinking of. I don't want to misquote that because I'll probably get called out for it. It was another game at Hell Survivors, but yeah.
So, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like, they're passionate. They're there.
Yeah.
We see you, but like, goddamn, like, you're not making these companies lots of money.
No, and but also at the same time, talking about advancement in the industry, how much more can you really do to Speedball versus how much more can you do to MagFed?
Right.
And where are we going to win back players from Airsoft?
That's a big, big thing, right? Trying to get
that is what's important.
Paintball, you got to get them into MagFed. And it's funny because I watch these players, and I think the natural progression now for a lot of players is they start usually rentals, and then you see them get into MagFed. And then they go from MagFed to rec ball, and then from rec ball to speed ball. It seems to be like the natural progression. I've seen so many people start in MagFed and then move their way to speed ball. They still play both, but it just seems to be like the natural progression. I think it's just a matter of like, you max out on MagFed and you're like, I need more. I need more speed. I need more like aggression. I need more play. And they move into speed ball. But anyways.
But then some of us come back.
Oh yeah, they fluctuate, right? You move between.
I want that fucking MagFed aggression.
MagFed is the fastest growing section of paintball right now.
Yes, and I think that's because they're pulling people in from airsoft, but it's also way less intimidating for the new player. If you're a brand new player to paintball and you look at somebody at speedball who's playing NXL rules and they're shooting 15 balls per second and they're dumping 1,000 rounds, you know, without even blinking, and then you look at MagFed and you see that it's more like your favorite game, like Call of Duty or Battlefield, and it's a little bit slower paced, and there's a lot less paint coming at you, and it's a lot more tactical, and it's a lot, you know, it's more appealing that way. It's less intimidating to get into that. So it's a great entry point. Megvet is a great entry point.
They wish to find the best players and a challenge, according to Mr. Mugui. Which, I mean, not wrong.
What?
There's some great Magfed players out there, but if you want to find some really like the best players, they tend to play speedball.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
I think Magfed kind of is his own worst enemy, in the sense that a lot of Magfed players will get bogged down with, the thought I have right now is really hard to process in one like cohesive thought. If you look at average speedballer from head to toe, you've got headband, mask, jersey, pants.
You're talking about the vanity of MagFed versus the like sports.
Speedball is limited, right? You've got, like I said, you got your headband, your mask, your jersey, your pants, your cleats, maybe some gloves if you're that kind of player. Then you got your marker, your tank, your hopper. And then you got your pod pack and a bunch of $2 pods. And then MagFed is, you see these guys that go out and they buy a TMC for $300, but then they're buying like, they've got their mask, but then they've got like the earmuffs and they got the big mic and then they've got a full matching tactical outfit and then they got a full tactical vest and then they've got the bags on their legs and they got tactical boots and they got the tactical gloves and then they got the sling and then they got the dump pouch and then they got the, and they just keep adding shit on left, right, and center. And it's like, cool. At what point are you no longer playing paintball and you're just LARPing with paintball? You know what I mean? So it's nothing wrong with it. Go nuts. I'm just saying that MagFed has more room for growth in that sense. Because
I think that there's balance to it, right? Like, you don't have to do those things. And I think that's where...
No, not at all.
That's where it comes in, is it's more well-rounded. And that's why people like the community, because you get all of the, like, positives of paintball in that sense. I mean, there's obviously the negatives, too. But you also get some of those positives from airsoft. And that's why it's this, like, bridge gateway kind of thing for that stuff, is because... You know, you still get some of the fun vanity stuff if you find it fun anyways. But you can still run an EMF with no stock and a tank at the bottom of your ASA and run with mags, and it's still cool.
Yeah, that's where the EMF has built this really cool bridge between speedball and MagFed, because we're seeing more speedballers actually drift back into MagFed because they can pick up a gun like the EMF, go super lightweight loadout with mags and a little peanut air tank and just
bastards run like hell.
Yeah. And then they just rip shit like crazy and they're having a ton of fun.
I thought of that while creating those positions or recreating them, because that's a dagger player in the same essence. Like, that's why those positions aren't like LARPing as like, I'm creating like squad rolls and all this stuff. Like, yeah, they're called squad rolls, but whatever. They're not like in the sense of military. It's just like how people play paintball, and it's how people have played paintball for years. That's why they were created.
It's fun to watch those speedballers come back and play MagFed, because they do run like hell. And more over than watching them run like hell is when you catch up with them later after the game and they're giggling their asses off. They're giggling. They're sitting there going, holy fuck, man.
This is definitely a show topic we got to have, is that there are some harsh truths about MagFed and there are some harsh truths about speedball that I think both sides tend to gloss over when they're talking about the other side. So, but I think there's this cool blending of MagFed and speedball. It used to be there was a hard line that you didn't, you know what I mean? Like, you either played MagFed or you played speedball, or, you know what I mean? You had your speedball kit or you had your MagFed kit. There's a hard line, but that line is starting to go away. It's starting to get very blurry, which is fantastic, right? We're seeing this just awesome blending. We're seeing people getting into both sides of it. We're seeing MagFed players trying speedball and speedballers trying MagFed, and it's awesome, because I love that the both sides of the sport are trying to, you know,
our goal at the end of the day is to shoot little round balls of fucking paint at each other.
Exactly.
That's right. Exactly right. We all have the same goal. We all play the same game.
And maybe yell some sort of obscenities at each other just for shits and giggles. Okay, like, that's
right? I always laugh at the, because speaking of which, our artist, Elise, has reached out to me about a project that we wanted to do before Christmas, and then life kind of got out of hand, and we put it on the back burner. But there's some merch being made based on a saying I said, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, where I just offhandedly and blatantly said that MagFed players are bad paintballers.
Yes. I remember that. That was
so. That's a whole show that we need to definitely have and have a conversation about, because there's no right or wrong way to play paintball. I just definitely want to do a thought experiment and discuss the idea of, like, at what point are we running into, are we ever going to run into this issue? Or are we ever going to find a happy medium? Because I've seen speedballers who take their sport way too seriously and they're very aggressive to the point where it's unsportsmanlike. And then on the other side, I've seen MagFed players where they refused to start the game because their captain and their commanding officer was not with them. Therefore, they had no orders. Therefore, they were not allowed to engage. Meanwhile, I walked past them in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt with the TGR slung over my shoulder and said, "It's a fucking game. Let's go." You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's chads on both sides.
Right? Except it's funny because I find that on the MagFed side, it's a little less chad and a little more cringe, because they tend to forget that it's a game, whereas, like, or they tend to forget that it's a sport. And then the speedball side of it tend to forget that it's a game. You know what I mean? Like, they almost hit, like, it's like they both go on both sides of the spectrum so far that they meet. You know what I mean? Like when you go so far left, you go right. And when you go so far right, you become left. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, in the end, it is just a game and it's all fun. So
exactly.
Oh, you know,
and there's no
the
reason
more the merrier, dude.
Either. I've played, I mean, I have a 180R.
I love it.
I have more woods ball, I guess, with it.
I have my mini, and I had a T15.
I got away from the fucking electro pew pews. I went all mech because electro pew pew makes me mad because I keep killing them. So instead, we're just gonna go mech pew pew, mag fed pew pew. This is fun, and I'll borrow an EMF or I'll borrow an ETHA 2 from somebody, because everybody's got an ETHA 2 in the bottom of their bag.
Yeah.
It's like absolutely. The 98 custom of...
the speedball world.
Oh, for sure.
It's the new...
And that is dope as hell. For all the shit talk and all the ball busting we do about PE, give them that. You can beat the fuck out of those markers, and they keep coming back.
Okay, I think the only difference when people say that it's like the 98 was super customizable, and that gun is to an extent, but not to the level that 98 was.
The thing with the 98 was that it was built from the ground up and released with a ton of accessories by Tippmann. That was cool.
Yeah.
Right? Tippmann was like, check it out. Here's the 98 custom. Also, here's an entire catalog of parts that you could order for the 98 custom.
Here's this recycled EMF body that we threw on this too.
You shady bitch.
Nightmare PB.
You shady bitch.
Hey, Nightmare.
Oh, goodness. A real life fucking celebrity here to grace us on our show. Who's 98 are you talking to? Mine?
What? Who's 98? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Dave just popped in to say hi. Say what's up.
Dave.
Absolutely.
Buddy. We're waiting on your request too, Big Papa.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Nightmare's videos too. With he's going to be running some speedball stuff too this year, he said. So
yeah, that's all right. He's starting his shit talk already. I kind of miss that asshole. I got more comments about my ass dance than anything because of that video. Thank you.
For the record, Nightmare, I still have it. It's in my storage locker. My custom built 98 custom. So you guys coming to 0 hour? Probably not.
I will be at 0 hour this year.
Yeah, you will be, because you're down at the... Yeah. I probably will not be.
I'm not sure if that question was directed at me or you guys.
Oh, while we're... Okay, so we're already past time, but let's keep this going, because I just want to... I want to touch on this just a little tiny bit, because as I told... Tom there, as I told the King of Paintball, that tonight's show is brought to you by Spite and Caffeine, because I've got 3
shit, I thought we were going to get away with him not bringing this up.
No, I'm bringing it up.
So is this how we're going to end our show? With a little bit of spite? I just want to know
people's opinion on a thing. Except I can't find the original comment anymore.
Oh, I think I've seen that conversation.
Where the hell did it go?
Was that in a video?
Yes, it was.
Night by Nightmare, right?
Where did it go? Oh my god, they're all gone. Where did they? There definitely was. Oh, it's because I'm on the wrong account.
You schmuck. I'm just like scrolling through our conversation here so I can send it to you.
Yeah. So it. Oh my goodness, where is it? 2 hours ago.
Was it about calling bounce hits?
Yeah, yes. It's the bounce hit conversation.
But it wasn't okay. That. I was having a simple conversation. So it was all I said. Okay, so Buddy said it bounced. It didn't count. Obviously, Nightmare's video was about somebody cheating. They were getting hit. They were wiping, right? That's not
what fuck, I remember that.
That's not what was important. What was important, though, was somebody had made the comment and said that bounces should always count as a hit. And, he said it should be. His name is Matty Lavallee. Because he said, mention me on the
podcast. Lavallee.
I invited him on. He said no. It said
he did ask to be mentioned, though, so we'll shout him out because.
Yeah. And to be fair, I believe he is French first, English second. So his English, I think the grammar's a little bit off, but.
We all know that if you can spot a woods baller playing speedball, because we're the ones that are going to go, ah, fuck, and put our hands up. Doesn't matter if it broke or not.
Yeah.
We're going to do it. We all do it. So
he says it should be bounce. Who cares if, sorry, it's just the reason I'm saying this is because it's hard to read this because the grammar's a little written off. Who cares if it breaks? That's for a child to prevent problem. Adults should raise their hand whenever they are hit. I do whatever other play me. I never check hit. Just raise hand. This video is crazy. What a bunch of man child. I said, I got to disagree. At range, all paintballs bounce. I'm not calling myself out because somebody aimed their marker at a 45 degree angle and got lucky. If the ball doesn't break, I'm not out. If I see the ball bounce on you, I'm going to keep shooting till I see paint splatter. I also expect the same of my opponent. I expect you to shoot me until the paint breaks. Okay?
I mean, I think that's the basis of paintball, right? We're trying to make the sport something different, and I think that's where those lines are getting grayed a little
right?
bit. People coming in from airsoft, where they're going to just call everything.
So he said, so you get hit, you don't die, you're the same as this cheater, you're just a man-child. I said, the fields I play at use the standard rule of you are out when the ball breaks and leaves a splatter of paint the size of a quarter. If the ball bounces, it doesn't count. That's all I said. These are word for word, by the way. This guy got super aggressive. All fields use this rule. I'm telling you, I disagree with it for obvious reasons. Do you need the BBs to break an airsoft? If you got shot, you should be out. Simple. Little Magfed Club in Quebec, they play bounce, no need break, and it's superior. The thing you wear and the angle it hit shouldn't matter. You got hit, you are dead. And then out of nowhere, he comments, he goes, that's a big beard for a 12-year-old. Bro's getting shot, but he's Rambo. He didn't die. And I was like, hey, man, no name. No need for name calling.
That's just a straight up attack.
Don't attack my beard.
So I'm standing at work getting these messages going. All right.
Motherfucker made a negative comment about my beard. I said,
okay. We got one. Here he is. Too cracked.
See,
whether it breaks or not, it is
games at D-Day where the ball, where they're at the top of the hill and they're shooting down, and there is no way that ball will ever break. And it just got, it got carried by the wind. It got lucky. It hit you. Should you be out? Because Buddy sent 20 paintballs and one of them just happened to be carried on a current and hit you.
Now you get shot with a 5.56 in the leg. Yes, absolutely. But it's a game. I do see what you mean.
It's not real. It's a game.
Yeah. That's Finder brought up a good point too. I was gonna say that, like, if you're wearing a ghillie suit, like, all hits count. That's just
We had special rules, like in the winter, we would actually play bounces count because you're wearing layers, and the balls will bounce.
We can see Matty. Tabarnak de les Anglais, t'écoute, tabarnouche. Sometimes bounces count.
So when we when we played bigger games and somebody had a ghillie, we'd actually test them. We'd actually have them stand at like, you know, 40, 50 feet, and we'd shoot them. If the ball bounced or got stuck in the ghillie and didn't break, we'd be like, okay, cool. You have to call all hits, whether they're bounce or not.
Okay, so it is permissible on occasion to call.
Yes,
to call
but bounces. Not at all times. That's where.
Okay. That's where the.
And then the comment about my beard.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was on his side until the beard comment. I'm outnumbered, dude, 2-1 for beards. Like, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm baby smooth. That's how I roll. But
yeah. And then Nightmare says maybe in specialty game like a hardcore Megfin only LARPing game bounces could count. SAS Ottawa did it. It worked. Right. But SAS Ottawa is a very tight knit small team. When you have teammates playing teammates and then you all have agreed and there's an honor system there, great. But yeah, when it's a big game and you have 600 players on the paintball field, what that tells me, and personally, I invited him in. He could have commented, but he's not here, so he can't defend himself. But it sounds to me like somebody likes to hang it way back and long ball because he's too afraid to get into the firefight.
Oh, shots fired.
Which I actually found playing at Operation Honey Badger, playing at PRZ, I found a lot of MagFed players do not like getting into the shit.
Nope. They don't like...
They do not like getting up close and personal. They tend to hang back and they hope that you'll charge at them. They do not like charging into a fight. So that's where that whole joke of MagFed players are bad at paintball came up.
I want to see that change with these positions too. A little bit of tactics and teamwork, and you don't need to be long ball on first strikes anymore.
No, you just need a crazy bastard who's willing to run in there.
Says, so what if the ball bounces off cover, hits you, and breaks? You're out. It's called a bounce shot, and they exist. It's an actual trained technique in speedball where you bounce a ball off of the bunker they're standing next to.
Get the fuck out.
Not. They will.
I shit on your grave.
Look it up. It's called a bounce shot. They will literally shoot at a bunker to make the ball go like 40 degrees to the left, and it cuts around another bunker.
It's like skipping rocks.
Exactly.
Okay, now, if you can fucking do that, fuck me. If you can break a ball from bouncing it and intentionally do that shit,
it was like the apex barrel, too. Like,
Patrick Ragu is on way back. Thing. He goes, it's a thing. 100%. Bounce shots are wild.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to be going check. I trust you guys because this sounds too cool not to be real.
Right? It's a
thing. If you're talking about a hit that's going to break after a bounce, it's going to be on your foot, if anything.
Right, but if it breaks, you're out. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The ball broke.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Also,
and what you're wearing, if you're wearing something rigid, I've had plenty of balls bounce off me because I'm fat, but if it hits my mag or my plate carrier, it hits my mag.
I'd be in a shit disturb. What if the splat's smaller than a quarter? How many refs carry quarters these days? Shut up, Neb.
Fuck off, Neb. Not helping any.
But yeah, it's, and besides, if the ball bounces off a bunker and then hits you, and then breaks, it's clearly had enough energy to break if it was going to hit you, because it loses energy when it bounced.
I'm going to reply back to Neb with, then it's a splatter and wipe it off.
No, for real. So what we would usually do is, like, we would look at it and be like, is it that big? Like that. And they go, it's like, nope, it's clearly splatter. Okay, cool. Right? Too cracked. I'm slowly learning to only call breaks, though. Since I play Airsoft 2, I'm just so used to the honor system that sometimes I don't switch to the mindset.
There's a woods baller.
That can be difficult going between.
I mean, Airsoft, I think that's fair, too, because in all reality, like, if you're calling all your hits, then you're going to get better eventually, right? Because like, you can't get hit at all.
Right?
Okay. I like, this is good. This is good conversation, boys. I likes it.
Right.
Five-star breaks on them. I've seen some, like, that five-star paint is something fucking else.
We like, used to love playing with five-star paint because we'd take it out of the box and we'd hold it at like waist height and drop it on the ground and it'd split open and you're like, yes.
Two crackies get break. Shot at by some monster balls.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing too, is if you play a lot of MagFed and you're very big into the MagFed scene, odds are you're playing with heavy, thick shelled paint that doesn't break very easily.
I'm starting to seriously consider playing the devil's game in the winter if we can't get some winter games going, because I have no shame anymore. I wants to shoot and I need to get out and run because I'm gonna get fat. And bounces hurt more, yes, because if you don't call your hit, we're just gonna shoot you again. that's like real bullets, Pat? Oh God.
I think he's talking about the monster balls, maybe.
Oh, okay.
You're just in general, like, those. Yeah, yeah. People complain about this topic clearly aren't the type to. The people who complain about this topic clearly aren't the type to be in the shits with FSR.
Pat, fucking love FSR being there, man.
Are hilarious though. They are. So FSR is one of those things where, like,
ha! You spent a buck and it bounced, sucker.
Right, or it's like. It's like, yeah, you've got
extra strikes. Your second strike.
Yeah, it's
like, second it's like, strike.
It's like shooting first strikes. You're like, bro, you got extra range. I get that. You ain't got that much extra range though. Like when your scope is tilted at a 40-degree angle, like you're aiming up and you're longballing this shit. You're artillery at that point.
It'll be interesting. I want to be in a game where those new frangible first strike rounds aren't being used. I'd love to get shot up by one of those. You guys seen those?
No, what are you talking about? Frangible?
First Strike put out a premium round, or they're talking about it anyways. It was shown at Folda Gap, where there's a no-nipple first strike round that's got a more frangible shell. I think it's geared towards those first strike snipers, really, where they're using
I just found the supremacy. I'm going to check out later. I'm going to have to look into that. That's something I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but also I'm sure very expensive. But that's towards the player that spent all that money on their SAR or whatever, so they probably don't care and they want the performance out of it.
I was going to say, when you're talking about the people that I've met that are tuning their SAR 12s based on like the current humidity level, they're the ones who are going to spend the extra money on the extra premium for a strike round.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I get hit by one of those and they break, then you know what? Fair game. You did all that work, I guess.
No,
you know
100%.
What?
100%, right?
Yeah, there's a point where you're just going to be like, respect.
Yeah, exactly. Respect. Like, that takes some brains to do, even. Like, you can't just, like, you got to do some calculation on the field, tune your kit just the right way.
But he's
way,
busting
like,
out a sniper pad and a pen. He's making up the calculations to figure it out. All right, you know, like, wind resistant.
Oh, I would love to see someone do that. That'd be hilarious.
Don't get me.
You
don't
see their hand go up underneath their mask.
Because I will bust out, like, I will go get, like, you'd have the dollar store range finder, the little, like, wind speed indicator. I will be out there, like, right, like, I will, it'd be the end of the game, and I'll be like, pop, like, one shot.
First shot.
It's going to take me 15 minutes to do the calculations.
I mean, on the sender's end of it, it is very satisfying, though, for sure.
Like, oh, I'm sure it is. Shot. I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, folks, we're gonna end this here. Sidewinder just put a link in the chat, which obviously I can't preview right now, but it's showing off the new First Strike round, which is great. We're going to go take a look at that. What was the other thing? Oh, we're not 100% sure on the change on the date, but the podcast will be changing days very soon. We're going to be switching to Fridays. Sorry, whatever other podcast runs on a Friday.
It's not Sunday, so we're not infringing on our friends. So
it's not Sunday or Monday, which means we're not infringing on Frontline or Behind the Bunker. I feel like there is something that goes on Friday evenings, but
there's a bunch on Fridays, but it's fine. People will pick and choose what they want.
Exactly. So
just
yeah,
like
so
they do on Fridays.
Those of you who come here to listen to us and listen to us, we appreciate you, and you'll be here hopefully any night, except for tonight because it won't be this evening.
Yes. But yeah, so keep an eye on that. We're going to be changing to Friday. And also, we got some changes happening. I'm going to be asking the viewers for their input and stuff. We're going to be getting some merch made up, getting some designs done up, and then I want to know what kind of merch you guys want to see. Outside of the typical, like, T-shirts, sweaters, hats, everyone does that. I'm just curious about anything crazy, like anything new. And
Jockstrap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jockstrap.
If I can find a way to do it, I will. I'll get you a Maritime Paintball Podcast jockstrap.
Can we get a? Can I get a 3D printed cup?
Yeah.
Do I trust the 3D printed cup? I would trust the stuff he's talking about.
Yeah,
I would safely use
that.
Yeah,
for sure.
We could do that, and it could have like the logo like on it, so that.
It's like, I don't want to put
nothing
that there.
Nothing too custom for me.
pod mugs.
It won't be formed.
Oh, that's what it was. Frontline Paintball Podcast does their weekly news on Fridays. which is fine because there it's going to be a different time slot. So we're not going to be going live at the same time as them.
Also, this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I'm on the Frontline Paintball podcast, so you should all check it out. I've been invited to go and hang out with those fancy lads. So check that out. I'm excited.
Right. I'll be on.
I'm as surprised as anybody else is.
Yeah, honestly. It came out of the blue.
Yeah. The fuck do they want? That fucking moron.
But yeah. But folks, that's it. We are done. We're out of here. So yeah, thanks for hanging out. Matt, thanks for coming on and chatting and talking about your site and all that and bringing around basically Spec Ops Paintball 2.0. I'm very excited for that. And Spec Ops Paintball always has a special spot in my heart. So
thaw that little cold little spot out with this because I like these positions. This is really cool.
So. It's fun. Oh, yeah. It's really
Pat
fun.
Pat just coming too for him soon. So,
buddy. Tom, I'll shoot you some links to some really funny little animations that Spec Ops Paintball had that they were phenomenal. Right. I'll see if I can find them. And yeah, for everyone who hung around, chit-chatting, liking and sharing and all that, thank you so much. And, that's pretty much it. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to reach out to us. You can shoot us a message on social media. You can always email us, maritimepaintballpodcast@outlook.com. And if you have any suggestions for topics or guests, please let us know. We'll get somebody on. We'll figure this all out. And then, thanks again to Ninja Paintball for picking us up and deciding to sponsor the podcast. That is super cool. It's almost like we're a legitimate content creators now that we have like a manufacturer backing us. So, but that's it.
For now.
Yeah, for now. We'll see how long it lasts and see how long until we break the rules. That's it, folks. We're out of here. It's been a blast. Until next week, cheers.
Hypa, hypa.